Hello and welcome to The Sharpest Tool. I'm your host, Josh Smith, where we take the sting out of marketing here. We're with everything that we're bringing to the table. I'm really amped up about today's episode because I have Rustin Kretz, the CEO of Scorpion, here to talk about something that I think a lot of business owners don't think about, especially a lot of business owners in the trade. Scorpion on the Inc. 5000 fastest growing companies for the past 7 years in a row, going on eight, I have no doubt. Innovator of the year with Google, premier Google SMB partnership, just a really awesome organization that has grown immensely over the past couple years. And I don't think you can grow that way without solid leadership. So it's such an honor to have Rustin Kretz here in the booth. Rustin, welcome.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. By the way, your radio voice is on point. I love it.
I like that.
I'm fired up right now. I got to get the energy going.
You got it. That's it. So we're talking about something really important today. Again, a lot of business owners, I don't think really think about this too much. You know, they've grown up in the trades. They've gotten the ownership of the business because it was handed down to them. They're great plumbers, great technicians, but they don't think about leadership a lot. And, you know, Forbes dubs leadership as one of the top 10 reasons why businesses fail today. One of the top reasons why, you know, people leave businesses is with poor leadership. And so I think it's a really important topic to talk about. So, Rustin, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about the first time you really experienced great leadership in your career?
Well, I think one thing to think about first is that the successful home service businesses do have great leadership. And yeah. I think that's something that they focus on. And, you know, there's a handful of businesses that may not, and their business struggles. But you see the ones that continually become successful. They grow, their techs are happy, their people are happy. And those are generally surrounded by a great leader, someone with a great vision and a great purpose, something that creates an environment of a team, which I really appreciate. If you think about, for me, going way back in the day, kid in college, working a job, and I was doing roofing and getting a chance to be a part of that business and work with the owner and see how inspiring he was, how much he cared about his people. You got guys that would never leave, you know, guys that were just proud to be part of his company. And, you know, you still come in, you work in the summer heat at maybe 105 degrees, you're on a roof, it's hot, it's horrible and sometimes, but you come back to the office and he's happy, he's smiling, he's making you have a great day, but also focus on, hey, what impact do we have on people and their lives? Yeah. And it's more than just your career, your job for the moment, it's about what we're accomplishing together. That kind of leadership really inspires, I think, anyone who works for a great leader.
Definitely. What would you say? I know one of the big problems, I agree, we do have great leaders with some of our businesses that Scorpion gets to work with, and just the businesses that you deal with. We talk with our business owners a lot, and that seems to be paramount. One of the biggest issues in the industry right now is losing techs to other companies and things of that nature. Right. What was something that that leader at that roofing company did that really stuck out to you that really kept people on board and engaged?
That's a great point. Great question. You felt like you mattered. You felt like you contributed to what was going on. And you weren't just basing it on a paycheck, right? You were basing it on being part of something, being part of a family, being part of an atmosphere. You wanted to go to work every day because you liked the people. And everyone worked on creating that atmosphere every day. So can we make something on the board that was a game of the day? Or was it, you know, just someone saying good morning all the time or the coffee was ready? Anything that made us get up at 5 a.m. is kind of a challenge, right?
Yeah.
And especially knowing that no matter what, it's 110 outside and it's going to be a rough day, but that office atmosphere is a place that you come back and you can relax and you can talk to people and you like who you're around. So you gravitate to the company that cares about you and takes the time to understand who you are. And I think that always will make a big difference in any business.
Businesses who don't fully understand getting around the people behind it, why does that, I know there are businesses out there that don't get that concept. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that's missed in some businesses?
It's a challenge to do.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you have to focus on it. It's something that you have to say, look, oftentimes businesses are started by someone who's great at something, but that they may not be great at working with people, inspiring people, and being together and coming up with a vision together. And so you may be the greatest plumber or the greatest roofer or the greatest HVAC guy. However, how do you inspire others? How do you inspire people to come work for you? And do you work with them well? And do they want to work with you? And that's a different challenge. And sometimes the biggest thing that I can say, you know, owning a business for a long time is you got to work on it every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can make sure that the people who work for you are happy to work with you, they're going to stay.
Yeah.
You know, if they're happy and you can make sure that you're winning together, they're going to stay. because it's a common purpose and a common vision together. And if you create an atmosphere that people are fired up about, hey, they're not looking elsewhere, right?
Nah, who wouldn't want to work there?
Right, exactly.
So
it's kind of like this show. It's just like excitement
it's
like
exciting.
You bring.
Here we go. We're bringing it. That's exactly it. We want people to be on the show.
Exactly. Bingo. There you go.
So from your perspective too, being the CEO of Scorpion, a large organization, let's go really basic. What is leadership? How does that differ from management? From like a manager versus a leader, what's the dynamic between the two? And what makes a leader a leader?
I think leaders, to me, are some of the most important people in the world. I mean, you sit there and you build a team, you create a vision, you say, hey, this is where we all want to go. But then you take a moment and listen. Yeah. Hey, where do you guys want to go? And does it align with where we think we should take it? And then how do you work together to build something even stronger together? And then keeping people on that path, right? Because oftentimes, you know, you may have 10 people running in the same direction, but one isn't. And taking the time to understand why isn't that one person running the same way and then fixing it, you know, taking that time and energy and effort to be a leader, someone, you know, who has influence and you can help people guide them. I mean, I think one of the things that gets me the most excited is knowing that I had an impact on someone's career or life because I just took the time to say, hey, I care about you. I care about your future. And let's walk through some of the problems or challenges you have and let me help you get out of that. And people respect that and they love that, I think. I mean, that's what I think leadership's all about. But wouldn't you rather work for someone who is inspiring and kind of taking you to the next level all the time? I mean, that's what everyone wants.
Absolutely, no question. You talked a bit about like the vision, you know, really looking at the long-term picture. What's the painting look like in its full? I think some people struggle to see that.
Right.
And that's what separates a leader from somebody who isn't a leader.
Right.
And so how important are, we throw these terms out in business all the time, a mission statement, a vision statement.
Right.
How do they differ? What's the value and the importance of having those really concretely locked down?
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, take a moment and think about any business. And if we use home service businesses, what are we trying to accomplish? What does our business look like in the future? So there's two different things. First, what do we work on? And what are we doing? And what's our objective from the day to day? You know, why do we exist? Okay, maybe there's your mission statement.
Sure.
But a vision is, what do we want us to look like in 2 to 3 years? You know, and if you focus on the end goal, especially in home services, experience of your customer, period. How can you deliver a better result for them? How can you make people just be passionate about your business. And you do that by delivering above and beyond, being there for them when you need them, and that extra level of service. Every single person that we work with, you think about someone who's great at service and you say, oh, I want to work with that person more.
Yeah.
And so if a vision for a home service provider could be something like, we want to deliver the best experience in the world for their plumbing needs, et cetera. And in 3 years from now, I expect to be the biggest plumber in the Santa Clarita Valley here. Great. Well, that's something now that you can take back to the whole team and say, guys, this is what we're all about.
Yeah.
And guess what? If anyone sits there and thinks that that's just the owner's responsibility, wrong. The owner's got to get that out there and say, this is what I want to accomplish. And together as a team, they go after that. And then if you don't celebrate that, you're going to fail because they all got you there. So it's something that's really important to say, this is where we want to go. And this is what we're going to focus on. And this is what we'll be known for in the future.
Absolutely. How important is buy-in to that? How important is it to get everybody on board? You mentioned the little lost sheep that you have to kind of herd back with the pack. Yeah. Right. How important is that? And when you do have people where you have a challenge there to get them on board, what are some strategies that you've experienced that are really effective in doing that?
To answer your first question, buy-in, incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the most important. Because if you have a team, let's just say that you had a goal, a vision in the future of where you wanted to take home services as an owner, where would you want to go? Well, if every single person isn't on board with that, well, you're going to have a challenge getting there. So let's pretend that for a second you say service to our customers is the most important thing.
Sure.
I want them to give us 5 stars on this. But more importantly, I want anytime they think about our brand, they say, these guys are awesome. That's what you should go for. If you have 5 people out of 10 that don't go for that, you're going to have a challenge. And so getting the buy-in that is going to take us to where we want to go, critical, right? I mean, that is the most important thing to do. And then, of course, making sure that everyone understands the why behind it. If you wanted to hire a plumber and your wife is at home, right? And you got the kids at home and you want to hire a plumber, well, what are the things that you want? Well, you want them to be on time. You want them to be respectful.
Yep.
You want to take care of the house and be okay and then really fix the problem. But that extra level of experience that, you know, your wife would have, you want it to be great.
Yeah.
And it's not someone who's, you know, pushing her around and trying to upsell her. And then she comes back and says, hey, Josh, what, I don't know, $2,000 for...
and a new hose.
you know.
And it's not even coiled. You have to coil it yourself.
Exactly.
So you deal with a lot of leaders in your organization. You've seen a lot of leaders in action.
Yeah.
We deal with business leaders all the time. So we're surrounded by leadership. We've seen some great stuff, some not so great stuff. What do you think separates the great leaders from the not so great ones? What are some of the challenges that leaders face today?
Yeah, good question. I think the best leaders that you're around, one, they're always working on becoming better. And that may be through, you know, I know like you, for example, you're always listening to podcasts or reading books or trying to get better at certain things that you know that you may have deficiencies in. Whereas like, you know, your radio voice and your epic, you know, podcast, you're really good at that. So you're like, yeah, I can do that in my sleep. But you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's something that a leader always looks at is how can I possibly improve? Because if they do, their team benefits from this. Someone who thinks that they can lead and not get better every day, no, because your team will never follow that. Your team will fall apart and they'll be the weak team because they're led by someone who isn't determined to be greater every single day. So I think that's huge.
I'm going to tie this a little personally for you. What challenges do you as a leader currently face and that you work to overcome?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. Sometimes reinforcing the vision, you think that you've said it 5 times or maybe 30 times.
Sure.
But you really need to say it 31 times or 50 times. Or back to your question earlier, is you got to make sure that there may be 7 people that bought into that vision immediately, but the 3 outliers, why is it that they're not on board yet? And make sure that we can find a path to get them on board. Because if you have 10 people all rowing in the same direction, powerful, right?
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, 3 people not, it's bad. It's bad for the team. And I think for me, just to remember, look, I'm always focusing on how can I get better every day? I'm always focusing on what can I learn or read or improve every day? And I didn't do the greatest a week ago. I may be able to do better next week. And if you do that, your team's going to love you for it because you're pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
But absolutely,
you know, that focus on getting better every day is, I think, the key. And saying the story over and over again so you remember, hey, this is what we're all about.
What are some things that you personally do to make yourself better? I know you mentioned some reading and stuff. What's that look like in the life of a busy executive such as yourself?
I think the biggest challenge that I have today is that you got to try to find time. Right?
Yeah.
And so you pull aside time block. And just cut off. I mean, look, everything's, especially when you have kids. So you got, you know, working 80 hours a week and then, you, oh, well, the kid needs to play golf and that's awesome. Wow, you're amazing. That's awesome. But I still got to work on the other stuff and make sure that I'm pushing myself because if I just fail to do that, then I'm harming someone else by
you know,
not pushing the boundaries. So it's all about managing your time and those things. And so to set aside a couple hours, which I do, to go work on personal improvement and just keep pushing the boundaries there.
You know, I've heard you talk a lot about levels of leadership, how there's different levels just in a wide variety of conversations outside of this podcast. So I want to dive into that just a little bit because I think there's some really interesting principles about the levels and some of the limitations that we have as leaders. Mm-hmm. One particular law that I really am interested to get your thoughts on is this idea of law of the lid. Kind of feeds right into this idea of continuing to invest and develop ourselves.
Yeah.
Can you explain what that is and why it's important for leaders to understand where they lie in that?
That's a great question. So for anyone who hasn't read the book, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, John Maxwell.
Yes.
If I was unwilling to help raise the team up and help them get better by myself being able to do better, I'm blocking them from being what they're capable of or seeing their total full potential. And that's a challenge. And so I take that very seriously. And I think every leader here takes that very seriously.
Totally.
I mean, their teams are going to be as good as the leader keeps pushing the boundaries of what's possible and keeps saying, hey, I can handle these things and I can improve these things and then pushes the team along with it. A leader who does the status quo doesn't fit in here at Scorpion because that doesn't fit in with our vision or our culture.
Sure.
We really want to push the envelope all the time. And so, but that's everyone's decision as a business to make. So if a home services business, if that's what's important to them, well, great. Then that's part of their culture and their vision and everything else. And if it isn't, well, then it isn't. So, but those are decisions that an owner and really your core group of people have to decide. What are we all about? And then what's important to us? And for us, continuing to push the boundaries is very important. And we're a tech company, right?
Yeah.
We have to.
Absolutely. And you see your employee retention.
Right.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It seems to follow hand in hand. You push the boundaries. You're giving people something to shoot for.
Yeah.
Employee retention follows.
Yeah.
So how do you approach the mismatch or the imbalance of maybe an employee who's not a leader who wants to push themselves, but they're mismatched by leadership who isn't pushing the boundaries? What happens in those cases?
First thing you said is pretty powerful. I mean, I think it is important to realize that the retention of an employee here at Scorpion is going to be about how challenged they are, how bought in they are, and how much they love what they do.
Sure.
Right. And so in some cases, you know, you think about the right seat on the bus for people. If they're in the right seat in the bus and they're challenged and they're empowered and they have this vision of what the future looks like, they're generally going to stay and be a great contributor to the business. If not, they won't. Yeah. So you got to do that work all the time. As for leaders, it's something that we constantly work on here. How do we make sure that everyone's following their visions and dreams and things that they want to accomplish? And it's something that if we feel that someone isn't, well, let's try to find the right seat for them so that they can. Because someone in the right seat can contribute 3, 4, 5 times more than if they're in the wrong seat.
Yeah. And I think too, when they're not challenged and you have that law of the lid, right? You have somebody who's maybe on a scale of 1 to 10 and 8.
Right.
As an employee and a leader who's maybe a 6, mm-hmm. probably go somewhere else where they're going to be pushed up the ladder a bit, you know, in terms of their capabilities and everything. Do you think that feeds into the retention of techs? I know in the home services industry, tech retention's a big deal. It is. See a lot of techs that all of a sudden businesses don't have enough techs to facilitate jobs, and they got techs leaving for a wide variety of reasons.
Yep.
Does that leadership aspect and that law of the lid play an aspect in that?
The leadership aspect definitely plays it. And this is one of the challenges, I think, going back way back in the day to the roofing company I was talking about. One of the things that the owner did always was he wanted to make sure that you were doing well.
Yeah.
He was invested in you. There was a care factor that was more than here's your paycheck. Every Friday you get your paycheck, it was there. Yeah. Great. But it was more than that. He always wanted to make sure that you were doing well. And if there's anything that he could do personally to improve your day, week, month, life, he would take the time to do it. Even if it was just spending an hour talking about random things that wasn't business related, but he took the time to do that, which of course had this buy-in factor, which made me go, you know, I really like him and I will do this because of him more so than anything. And yes, money plays a factor, obviously.
Sure.
Benefits will play a factor. Other things will play a factor. But if a great leader, someone that you really are passionate about working for, who values your contribution, that has a lot of weight.
Yeah.
It does.
You don't find it every day.
No.
And so it's so different for people. You know, when it comes to personnel issues and how those can have an impact in terms of the brand, the reputation of the business, from a leadership perspective, what's your take on how you deal with those?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you get somebody out of those issues? Because what comes to mind for me is there's two types of ways to deal with. You have the managerial type way, which is like, you're chomping the hand off that's kind of reaching for the cookie jar, you know, and it's like, get back in line, stay in your lane.
Right.
And then there's the leadership aspect of dealing with it where it's like, no, that's not, we need to redirect and here's where I need you to go. And then all of a sudden I'm going to give you this endorphin injection of inspiration that all of a sudden you're amped up about.
Right.
What impact does that play in dealing with those issues and how does that really impact the reputation of a business?
Well, first you got to go back and as a business, fundamentally, you have to say, what do we stand for? Mm-hmm. And you know, how do you set the clarity for the employees so that they know, what does success look like for me? What are my expectations? What do you expect me to do? Like, so for one of the things that I think most people in business fail at is that their employees may not understand what's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to setting a strong vision. So going back to that example of a home service business that is passionate about service.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what we stand for, and this tech or this person, CSR or whoever it is, isn't delivering that, that's something you can coach to. You're hard on the issue, but you're soft on the person, right?
Sure,
you're saying, this is an issue because we stand for X and Y and Z, and you're not doing that. Well, of course, that tarnishes our reputation in the market. So hold on, let's solve that. When it's unclear and they can't actually say that this is right or wrong, well, they're going to behave however they want to.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone really is out there to behave poorly intentionally. I think that they're going to do whatever is asked for. And if you set those clear expectations and goals, you know, this is what we're all about here, then you can coach to those as opposed to saying this person can't deliver the reputation we want. Either way, I think keeping all people who work for your business to have that as if it was you, the owner, talking to a customer, that way that you interact with them, that way you shake their hand and say hello and good morning and thank them. Well, what if everyone did that?
Yeah.
But the way to do that is to write it down and say, this is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what we expect. And then let everyone know that this is exactly what you expect. It's so simple, but oftentimes it gets missed.
Yeah.
And it's not a law of the business. This is what we do.
Absolutely. What are some things that you think in your experience with leadership that leaders should avoid? Let's call it before it happens. Yeah. What should leaders avoid doing in order to make sure they have the biggest impact as a leader?
First thing to avoid is don't hide from having the difficult conversation.
Ah.
Period, right? It's tough.
Every
leader struggles with this. Mm-hmm. And I've had so many difficult conversations, which always results in a better outcome at the end of the day. But I don't hide from them because I think this is something even just working on myself and getting better every day, it's something that I had to work on 10 years ago to make sure that I could do that. And now I have no issue having a difficult conversation because at the end of the day, I know it improves their life and their happiness because 100%. I'm addressing something that, gosh, only if someone would tell me that this was an issue.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the worst thing a leader can do is to not tell their employee or other people around them, hey, these are some things that I think we need to work on because of X, Y, and Z. So I say always have that conversation.
Absolutely.
And the second thing is don't stagnate.
Yeah.
You know, if you think that you got it made today and you want to just rest on your laurels and stay there, wrong. The worst thing you can do. In fact, keep pushing.
Yeah.
And in this world, I mean, people are going to continue to expect better service, better experience, and better. And that's great. That's a challenge that you need to lay out and say, we expect better every day. And that's why your vision, going back to what you asked earlier, your vision's got to change.
Yeah.
It's got to adapt to the current world. How do we make sure that we are saying the right thing today for our market? And those are questions that, you know, home services providers should think about every single day, I think.
And that is so important, you know, having those tough conversations. You know, it's almost like I call it the inverse economy, right? You have the way the typical mantra or stereotype of management goes, and that's, well, we're just going to be, you're doing what I say, and that's what you're doing, right. And it's all business, and then personal may or may not come after that. But it's this inverse economy that true leaders really embody and develop, and that's why they're so mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Like, you meet one, and you're like, I'm in the presence of something that's so different, and it's because they focus 100% on developing the inside core of a person before they actually, it's that, I think John Maxwell coined it, you know, you ask for a heart before you ask for a hand.
Bingo, absolutely.
It's so valuable.
And people buy into the leader before they buy into the vision. So if you don't have their heart, forget about it.
Yeah.
But see, think about it. And I'm going to flip it on you.
Let
me interview you for a second. Just ask you this.
All right, let's go.
What kind of impact does that have for you when you're working with someone who, you know, empowers you, sets that vision for you, and then says, hey, Josh, this is where we want to go. Let's go make it happen. What's the difference there?
Oh, it's 100% difference. You're buying, especially when somebody gives you the ownership, right?
Yeah.
I think ownership is key. And when you have the ownership and the ability and freedom, you're given the vision of where you need to go. And you're given some freedoms to be able to be creative with that. I don't know, for me, that's one of the big things is like creativity.
Yeah.
I like my brain runs a million miles a minute sometimes. And I'm sure you can relate.
I know.
It's like pulling it back in and then reining it in and then giving direction. But the ability to make mistakes is huge for me. Like I learn by experience. And so that's 100%. If I'm given the vision and I'm empowered to live that vision and it's something that is in a space that it frees me up to use all of my creative juices and frees me up to use all of the talents that I've developed over the years.
Yep.
And then finding a way to insert all of my talents into that, I think I love that because I'm doing something I enjoy. That's when it takes a step from becoming work to becoming enjoyable.
Bingo.
You know, and I think that's so key.
Bingo.
So,
and I'll just say one more thing, Josh, to wrap it up.
Sure.
Take this one takeaway. If anyone out there was listening about what they could do, go talk to your employees and talk about the vision that you have.
Oh, good.
And if they do that, you know, all of a sudden their business can change. And it's just so important. So I think if there's a takeaway, take a moment and just talk to your employees about what you're trying to accomplish big picture and then how they fit into it and then hear them out. Just listen. And it's amazing what will happen from that.
That's so key. I love takeaways. I know you're big on takeaways.
I know. Sorry.
I know we could talk for probably another hour about this stuff. I think it's so, it fires me up,
you know, me too.
When talking about it. So anyways, well, we're going to wrap this up, Russ. And this has been awesome. I think we got some really, really good, valuable insight for our business owners here. So I really appreciate you taking the time out of your insanely busy schedule. So thank you so much. Awesome. For all of us here at The Sharpest Tool, once again, if you're enjoying this value that we're bringing to you on this podcast, hit that subscribe button wherever you might be at, and you can get more of this awesome content. And from all of us here, my name is Josh. We'll catch you next time.